And on Sunday, the 4th of February, there's a Songs of Praise to celebrate Gretton Baptist Church Bicentenary. So if you would like to come along to that, please do. Let us know if you need a lift, Keith or myself. And if you're able to give a lift as well, please let us know and we'll fill up the cars as much as possible and go along to support Peter on his bicentenary. Thank you.
Well, good morning. It's nice to be here this morning. It's. Am I using? Is it on? Yeah. I'll keep talking anyway. If people go home, I should know they're not able to hear. Psalm 103 says this: Praise the Lord, O my soul, and all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. He forgives us our sins, he heals our diseases, and he redeems our life, crowning us with love and compassion. This is good news that we hear from God's word on this, his day. We begin with our first hymn, King of Kings, Majesty. And so we turn to God in prayer. I'm going to use Psalm 25 as a bit of a basis for our prayer this morning. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you this morning and we lift up our souls. We trust in you, for you are our God. You are the one who supports us and strengthens us all the years of our lives. We look back and give you thanks for the years over which you have led us and blessed us. And we come this morning as we face a new year, which has started a few days ago now, but we face a new year with all its possibilities and opportunities. And we pray, Lord, in faith that you'll continue with us, that you'll lead us, that you'll protect us from enemies and difficulties, that you'll protect us from those temptations and those dangers that so often surround us. But we come this morning and seek that you would show us your ways and teach us your paths. We believe, Lord, that you are God, our Saviour, the one who each day and each moment desires to lead us and guide us. Lord, we come this morning to you and ask that in your great mercy, you will indeed remember us. For these prayers, Lord, we need your forgiveness in order that we might be your disciples. So forgive us, we pray. Strengthen us, we ask. Lead us in the way that is set out for us, that somehow we might determine and discern that direction that you want us to go. Lord, our desire this morning is that you will lead us, that you will guide us, and that you will protect us all the years of our lives. Lord, we seek your forgiveness in every part of our lives. We seek your cleansing and your healing. Lord, so often our lives are twisted and bent and we face in the wrong direction. Yet this morning we pray, Lord, that you would untwist us, as it were, that you would lift us up and you would point us in the directions that you want us to go. You'd help us to turn from those things, those ways, that selfishness that so often grips us, and that you would lead us forward. So, Lord, by the power of your blood and your spirit in our lives, we ask your forgiveness and grace. Be gracious to us and strengthen us. Lord, hear our prayers as we commend ourselves, our service, our church, indeed our community, into your hands. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So my question to you is this morning is this. How's the New Year's resolutions going? Didn't make any. Now that's the best resolution to have, not to make any. Because apparently this weekend is when you give up on them. Okay? The 12th of January and the weekend around the 12th of January is when, if you've made New Year's resolutions to eat less, to exercise more, turkey trotters they call them, don't they? People who run down the gym after Christmas. Those who go down the gymnasium after Christmas, they call them turkey trotters to try and work off that turkey that they ate too much. But it's difficult, isn't it? You make these decisions, perhaps, to do things differently, and so quickly do our lives, as it were, just revert back to the old ways. They say in Canada, what you have to do is you have to make sure that when you drive your car up and down the farm tracks, that you make some good tracks. So when the land freezes, you can drive your car okay without the complication of the frozen ground, which is so unforgiving, as it were. And so often our lives and our habits are like that, aren't they? They're like this ground that's frozen. And I think we do have to try and encourage some good habits so that our lives can indeed move forward, perhaps more easily. You know, I just wanted to say this morning that we do need to not only read God's word. I don't know if any of you have made a plan to read God's word every day this year and to try and read the whole Bible. Some people do that, and they try and get the whole Bible read in the year. And it's quite a good thing to do. But one of the things about reading the Bible is it isn't a case of reading it. It's a case of listening and doing what it says. It's no point reading the Bible if we don't respond to it. Now, I was walking through the Newburgh Centre a few days ago, and there's only one shop that's empty. And next to that shop, in front of that shop, there's a table where charities use to sell things. And on this occasion, the charity, or whatever it was a wellness charity. Somebody trying to sell wellness. Someone trying to encourage us to eat their tablets and take their vitamins and drink their juices and have a different lifestyle. And I walked past the stall. I walked a bit closer than I do normally to these stalls. I wasn't tempted, you understand that, don't you? But I did just wonder what they had on offer that could make my life so much better. And then suddenly, I saw the two people running the stall. Now, the chap, they're both a bit about in their late 50s. Now, the chap looked as though he hadn't eaten a decent meal in 25 years, and as though he really could do with sitting down and just looking after himself a bit more. And the woman was equally dishevelled. I thought to myself, you're not good adverts for your wares, you know? You're probably selling stuff that you're not using. You're probably telling us to do things you aren't doing yourself. And I just thought to myself, as we begin this new year and as we go through our year, I just thought to myself, you know, the biggest danger us Christians have is people look at us and say the same. They believe, they have all this Bible and this Jesus that they serve, but their lives don't always match up. And perhaps people feel a bit disappointed that God has let them down, we have let them down. So think about that chap in the Wellness Centre. And as we go through the year, let's seek by God's grace, and it is by God's grace only, that we might better reflect God and his love into the community. Let's just allow ourselves, like the moon, to be positioned in such a way as we reflect back the light into the world that enables men and women to see something of God and to make their own responses. But these things only really happen when we read God's word and when we do the things that God tells us from that word. So may God help us as we face the year, the opportunities that lie ahead. And we're going to sing again. Jesus is the name we honour, I think. Yep, that's the one. We had various choices, me and Carol, and that's what we've come up with. We stand to sing. Let's pray for the people. I'm just going to remind you what Jesus said about himself, and then we will pray in line with that. Jesus said this: "The sovereign Lord has given me his spirit. He's anointed me to preach the good news to the poor, to send me to bind up brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for captives, release for those who are in darkness as prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour, to comfort those who mourn, and to provide for all who grieve, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, oil of gladness instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of despair. Let's pray for our world. Lord, we come this morning and we seek that you would add your blessing upon this church as it seeks to proclaim the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We thank you for the life of the death of Jesus, for what he offers to us by his death on the cross. We thank you, Lord, that we can believe in you, that we can trust in you, that our sins can be forgiven, and that life can indeed have a full purpose to it. We pray, Lord, that we might be faithful messengers, people who pass on this good news to others. Lord, help us by the things that we do, and if necessary, the things that we say, to bless others with the good news of Jesus. Remind us too, Lord, that you bring us into this world as your hands and feet to assist in binding up the brokenhearted, to proclaiming freedom for those who are captives, those who are somehow chained up by habits or lifestyles or even by circumstances, to those who are indeed in prison and held captive by others. Lord, we come this morning and we pray for those who do indeed have needs. And we pray for those that we know who need a blessing in these circumstances. Lord, we come this morning to proclaim the good news of Jesus, the year of the Lord's favour. Lord, be with those who mourn. Be with those who grieve. Be with those who are disappointed because of the way in which life has taken its turn in their families or their circumstances. Lord, be with all that we know who have need at this time of encouragement in times of sadness and sorrow. And for those who are unwell, and there's a list of people this morning belonging to this church and indeed many places where there is sickness and need, where the need of healing is great. Lord, in the quietness, we just mention in our own hearts the friends and the families perhaps who need a special blessing from you. Lord, there are many. And we pray for wisdom for doctors and nurses. We pray for a blessing on our health service and those who seek to help those in urgent need at this time. We pray for friends we've mentioned and those perhaps we've forgotten. But for those who have illness and those who call on your name, we pray for a healing and a blessing and a return to normal life once again. We pray, Lord, for our government and our nation. We pray for those who rule over us and have responsibilities for us. We pray for the local election to take place in Wellingborough in a few days' time. We pray, Lord, that the campaign may be fair and just and the results may be indeed in your hands. And we pray for our nation as we go into an election year, that our politicians may be wise and seeking to serve rather than be served. Lord, we ask a blessing on those world leaders who have to make decisions, for those who decide to bomb this country or that country, for those who make decisions in difficult times and difficult places. Lord, we pray for wisdom and your steadying hand in all these situations, because we recognise we live in a chaotic world, a world where you do not have the final say at the moment in many situations. And yet, Lord, we know behind all this, you are the sovereign God who is bringing all things to your purposes and your climax. So we give this world to you and we ask your blessing upon those who seek to make decisions for the benefit of others. Lord, for the prayers we prayed and the prayers that we pray in our hearts, the quiet and silent prayers, we ask that you would hear them. And we add to these, Lord, our prayers for the money that's been given to this church, whether it be by bank transfer or in the box at the back. We pray, Lord, that you would indeed add your blessing to all that goes on and to the prayers that we prayed. And we ask these things now in the powerful name of Jesus, who is our Lord and Saviour. Amen. I'm going to read the Good Samaritan to you. I hope you don't twitch off. It's a new year, and I just felt as though, as John Major once said, we ought to go back to basics. And it didn't work out very well for him, but I just thought it'd work out better for us this morning as we look at the Good Samaritan. So hear the story, and let's hear what God has to say to us through this parable that Jesus spoke. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus turned to him and said, "What's written in the law? How do you understand it?" And the man answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind. And love your neighbour as you love yourself." And Jesus turned to him and said, "You've answered correctly. Do these things and you will indeed live." But the man wanted to justify himself. He wanted to get the measure of just what that meant. And he said to Jesus, "So who is my neighbour?" And Jesus said this: "A man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. He fell into the hands of robbers and they stripped him of his clothes. They beat him, they went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to come along down that road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So to a Levite, and when he came to the place where he was, he saw him and passed by also on the other side. But a Samaritan man, as he travelled and came down to where the man was, he saw him, he took pity on him. He went and bandaged his wounds and poured on oil and wine. He put the man on his own donkey and brought him to an inn and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins, that's 2 days' wages, that's 2 days' wages. And he gave them to the innkeeper and said, 'Look after this man. And when I return, I shall reimburse you for any extra expenses you may have had.'" And Jesus turned to the man and no doubt to the crowd, and he said to them, "Which of those do you think was a neighbour to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" And the lawyer turned to Jesus and said, "The one who had mercy on him." And Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." May God add his blessing to his word. So we're going to sing "I, the Lord of Sea and Sky," and then we shall have a bit closer look at the Good Samaritan.
Thank you.
Let's just pray that God will speak to us. Lord, our desire is to hear your voice. Our desire is, Lord, that you would speak clearly to us and that by your Spirit you would give us the strength to do the things you ask us to do. Not the things that you've asked somebody else to do, the things you've asked us to do. So, Lord, be with us now as we just look at these verses, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, a few years ago, I seem to remember I was booked on a conference in London. We were going on the 7:25 train from Kettering to London, and I was booked on the train, as was Gary, one of the legal men in the council offices. And we were booked on the same train, and I got down to the station at about 7:20, ready for the 7:25 train. Well, you're not surprised to hear that at 7:30 the train still hadn't arrived, and nor had Gary. And at 7:45 the train still hadn't arrived, and nor had Gary. And at 7:55, the train still hadn't got into the station, and Gary was still nowhere to be seen. Now, Gary did turn up just about 8 o'clock, and about a minute later, the train arrived. We both got on the train, and we both went to London, and I sat there a little bit mad. It just doesn't seem right, does it, that someone who can get out of bed half an hour later than me can get on the same train as me and get to London the same time. And it just doesn't seem right. And one of the dangers, if you look at this parable this morning of the Good Samaritan, and we sometimes forget that God is merciful and God is generous and God does give to people who don't deserve things, as Gary got the chance to get there at the same time as me that day. And we come to this story, and one of the things that perhaps prevents us sometimes from being kind and being good and helping others is we often think they deserve it. Maybe the priest and the Levite walked past this man laying on the side of the road and thought, well, do you know what? You shouldn't travel on your own in these days. It's dangerous. He's an idiot. And they just walked on, maybe. Maybe we walk past people because we think they deserve their circumstances. And this story would suggest to us that is a... And certainly Gary and the train would remind me also that isn't always the best way to look at things. We live in a world where people do cut corners. People do try and get away with things. We live in a world where people do what they want in their own way, at their own time. We live in a world that's sinful. Sin, S-I-N, and it simply means shove off God, I'm in charge. That's what sin means. Shove off God, I'm in charge. And that's what we do. We push God away and we... Sorry, I'm in charge now. That's what I should say. Shove off God, I'm in charge now. And that's what we do. And that's how we behave. There are many people in the Bible who make bad choices. You think of the characters. Abraham, 3 times, told a lie and said that Sarah was his sister. She was his half-sister, but he didn't really mean it quite like that. And then the times when Moses killed a man. And King David, of course, not only killed a man, he told lies, he committed adultery, and did all manner of things to cover it all up. And we all know about covering things up, don't we, these days? These are the sort of people that God chose to use and to bless. And so we come this morning with a bit of encouragement, don't we? That God is somebody who wants to use us and he wants to forgive us as he wants us to forgive others who also have failed him in many ways. As we mature and get older, perhaps we should become perhaps more obedient to Jesus. Jesus said to St. Peter one occasion, the Apostle Peter, he said, when you're young, you do what you want. But as you get older, the way is more narrow and the decisions are more perhaps in line with my will than yours. Is that true for you? Is that how you're feeling as you get older? And I know some of us here are older than we used to be. Perhaps all of us are older than we used to be. You know, we're people who perhaps, instead of having this wild plans of youth, maybe we are people who are called to listen more closely to God and follow him more nearly. In this passage, our priest and Levite are so typical of what I call normal human behaviour. They're distracted by their work. They're thinking about what they're going to do when they get there. I don't imagine the priest and Levite were on their mobile phones as they were walking along. I don't imagine that. But they were doing something similar. They were going over the day in their mind. They were thinking about what they're going to do when they get to the temple. They were busy people. They were minding their own business and they hadn't got time for people on the side of the road. They hadn't got time for such things. There was no time in their life. They had to get on with things. Their priorities they wanted to maintain. And this story screams out to us of the danger of living a life that is too set, that is too self-orientated, where we think we are the centre of the universe and where we think the world revolves around us. Because the third character in this story is the Samaritan. And we all know what the Middle East is like at the moment. The one lot doesn't like the other lot. And it was always so. And yet you find someone from the other side supporting a Samaritan's happy to help a Jew. And that's not the sort of thing that happened then. It doesn't happen now. And here we see Jesus reminding us that the grace and the mercy of God overcomes boundaries and racial tensions. We need somehow to step outside of our narrow ways that we are in, our community mindset, and see needs, the needs of others. You know, we live in a solar system, and I'm sure you take an interest in the Mars and Venus and the Earth and the way they circle the sun. And it's just amazing. I just can't believe it all happens, to be honest. And you can look up in the sky and you can see Jupiter and you can see Neptune and you can see these stars at various times in the year. And we live in a world where these planets, they all circle the sun. They all go round the sun. And I'd just like to make a comparison in that many Christians are like these planets. Many people are like these planets. Some are too close. Maybe you can argue the priest and the Levite were so close to God, they were sort of really heated up and they hadn't got any space for any sort of extra things. And there was no chance for real life to take place because it was too hot. They were too tense, as it were. I mean, you get the Jupiters and the Neptunes of this world, people who live a sort of distance from God, people who don't really live near enough to God to have the power of the rays of his love affecting their lives. So Jupiter, you find, is -276 degrees centigrade, which is virtually the lowest you can get because it's so far away from the sun, the sun's rays don't make much difference. And many people live that distance from God. They circle God. Oh, yes, they would say they're Christians, but their closeness to God and the effect that God's love and rays have on their lives is very limited. Until you come to the Earth, which, of course, is the Goldilocks, as it were, the Goldilocks position. It isn't too hot. It isn't too cold. It's just in the right spot. It's in a place where God's rays can come down, where the atmosphere is just right, just like the porridge was for Goldilocks when she ate it on that occasion. And you know, this place that we live called Earth, this home that we have, is just in the right spot to receive the rays and the warmth of the sun, to allow things to grow and to develop, to allow life in all its fullness. You only watch David Attenborough to see the sort of teeming life that this planet can sustain in comparison to Venus or Mars or indeed Jupiter or Neptune. Or that little place called Pluto, which is so far away, no one even knows whether it is a planet or not these days. And of course, amongst all this, you get what I call the really non-Christian people, the asteroids that come in and just go around the sun a little bit, get affected, get warmed up a little bit, and the ice comes off, and you see the ice, and you see the thing in the sky, then they go off on a tangent, right off into the solar system and beyond. You know, we all of us, in some way, are affected by the Son, Jesus Christ. And this morning, we've got to ask ourselves, how do we orbit him? How do we circle him? How do we allow ourselves to be in that place where we can receive and encourage life? It's an interesting picture, which I find helpful for myself. But to be a Christian is indeed to have one's life centered on God, to orbit him, to stay close enough, and to encourage life to grow and thrive. The power of the rays. If you don't believe in the power of the rays of the sun, not today because it's too cold, but you go and lie out in the sun for 20 minutes if it's hot, and you just see what difference it makes to your skin. It doesn't seem to notice at first, does it? You sit in the sun for about 2 hours, say, and it doesn't look as though it's happened. And you sit down at night, about half past seven, and suddenly the whole thing looks like a beetroot. I suppose you've all been there. And now I've got no hair, it's worse. Isn't it, Bill? You're looking at Neil. But you know, it's surprising what effect the sun can have on our lives. And I've just noticed in the deacon's vestry, the red chairs in the deacon's vestry are almost wrecked because they stand in the sun, don't they? They stand too close, so in the heat and the sun's rays have an effect. But we need to be those people who allow God's rays and sun and spirit to affect our lives. And to change us, to break down the things that we are and to develop the things that he wants us to be. The Good Samaritan story reminds all of us, that God wants to use us He wants us to show his love, and he wants us to be channels of his peace. He wants to show his grace and mercy into the world in which we live. He wants us to pass it on. You know, when Jesus, it's often, you look at some of the stories, when Jesus saw the 5,000 people there in front of him, and they're all hungry, and they've been sitting, he'd been preaching for 3 days, and he says he had compassion on them. His heart went out to them. He was desperate to see them helped, and something happened in his spirit, and something happened, and they were fed with bread and with fish. And a number of occasions when Jesus sees a need, the compassion wells up in him, and the blessing goes out. And that's the sort of picture that I want us to have for ourselves, as hopefully when we see need, when we see a situation which God, we believe God is calling us to help. And let's be honest, we are called to walk past some situations, because we can't possibly save the whole world. We can only do those things that God has called us to do. And when we see something that we feel is our responsibility, then the compassion, we need to respond to it, rather than the priest and the Levite, who no doubt dampened down their compassion. You put it to one side, you sought to escape from it. We are called, as the Samaritan was, to respond, to move forward, as it were, and to just take that risk. I mean, it was a dangerous thing to do, wasn't it? It was a dangerous thing to do. The robbers could have been hiding, it could have been a trick, it could have been a trap, it could have been all manner of things. But this man was willing to take that risk because of the need that he perceived and the need that he saw. And I believe God is calling us also to be these channels of peace and grace in the world in which we live. You know, we live in a world where you often see forest fires, and as soon as we get into the summer, you'll see all these places burning like they do in the summertime over Europe and parts of America. And they sometimes say it was all started by a barbecue or a cigarette butt or whatever just dropped in the ground. One little spark and hundreds of acres, thousands of acres are indeed damaged and ruined. You know, when you look around the church this morning, in this church and many churches, there are plenty of sparks sitting in pews. All of us could start a real blessing. You know, there's 3 times disciples here this morning than there was Jesus had in his preaching ministry. We could really change the world from Kettering, and it has happened before, and it can happen again. We can change the world in the places where we live and the situations we face. We can be that divine spark, or allow that divine spark to work through us, to be a blessing to others. And I believe God is calling us to do that, to set a community ablaze with grace and mercy and love. There are so many dark places, places where the sun doesn't shine. You know, I've got a beech hedge in my garden, and the beech hedge stands there, and it's got a gap between it. Now, on the other side of the beech hedge, the sun never gets to the other side of the hedge. And so on the ground is quite thick moss, because the sun never gets there. Now, where the beech hedge doesn't exist, in the gap, a yard gap, there's no moss, because the sun gets there and it makes a difference. It affects that moss and it just breaks it down, and the enzymes come in, and the sun's rays are sufficient to kill it off, as it were, and to just keep the footpath looking. You know, as I look at that moss, I sometimes think to myself, what is this world if the power and the grace of God is not shining into it? Wherever there are so many walls, there are so many places where God doesn't shine, where his love isn't present. It's so good to see street pastors on our streets on a Saturday evening, to bring God's grace and mercy into a place where Christians often aren't, to show his love and to keep things antiseptic, as it were, and to keep things better than they would be if God's presence wasn't there. So this morning, as we look at this story, this morning as we think about neighbours and friends and family maybe, this morning as we consider the situations, or even perhaps even as we go into the week and are suddenly confronted with a need, then my question to you is, who is my neighbour? And I want to answer you as Jesus would answer us as we head out into this week. He said, which of these men in the story was a neighbour? And the answer was the Samaritan, the one who showed mercy. And Jesus simply turned to them, as I believe he turns to us this morning, and he simply says to us, go, do likewise. Show my grace, show my mercy, show my love into this difficult world. Go and do likewise, because that is how he indeed is going to bring his kingdom into this world in these days. Amen. We'll sing our hymn, and it's nice and early, we can have a nice cup of coffee. Let's sing our hymn, which is Shine, Jesus, Shine. I couldn't resist this. I've not sung it for ages, and I thought it fitted in quite well. And Seth's happy as well, so that's really good. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen.